Have your Bibles with you. We're turning in Psalm 116. It's good to be with you here this morning in the Lord's day. And we give you a warm welcome in the Lord's name. And you in the webcast too, we give you a warm welcome to in the Lord's name. We're turning to Psalm 116. And just before we read upon God's word, we unite our hearts in a word of prayer, seeking God's face. Friend, you pray with me. You who are the Lord's, pray with me, seeking God's face for his help now. As we come before his word, as his truth open before us, let us seek the Lord together. Lord, our Heavenly Father, in the quietness of this place, we confess our utter inadequacy to deal with the matters before us. We're not sufficient of these things, but we thank Thee that our confidence is in Thee, and that our sufficiency is of God. We cry unto Thee, O God, to bless the reading of Thy truth. Thou wilt prepare our hearts in receiving Thy truth. Pray that Thou wilt bless the reading of it, that Thou wilt bless the words of Thy mouth. We pray and ask of Thee even now that Thou wilt cleanse us afresh in Thy precious blood. We're conscious that we're in a warfare, and we plead the blood against the enemy, against powers and principalities, knowing that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We cry unto Thee for help this day. From whence cometh our help? Our help cometh from the Lord. Lord, therefore, help us now. We beseech of Thee in Christ's name, thanking Thee for Him who loved us and gave Himself for us, for the mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And we thank Thee for our great High Priest, one who's touched with the feelings of our infirmities, who is in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And we thank Thee for His humanity. We thank Thee for His deity. We thank Thee for the God-man. And we praise Thy name for Him. And therefore we ask of Thee to help us now, in this time afforded to us, empty us of self and of sin, fill us full of the Holy Ghost and with power, and bear us along this day. For it's in Christ's name we ask all these things, careful to give Thee the praise and glory which is due Thy precious name. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Psalm 116. And we're going to read the whole of this chapter, commencing at verse 1, let us hear God's word. I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because He hath inclined His ear unto me, therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech Thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and He helped me. Return unto Thy rest, O my soul. For the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore, have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation, call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. O Lord, truly I am Thy servant. I am Thy servant and the son of Thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to Thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. Amen. We'll end our reading there, knowing that the Lord will bless the public reading of His word for His own name's sake. Again, just bow with me briefly, asking God for His help. Lord, we can't seek Thee enough for Thy divine intervention. Fain is the help of man. Therefore, help us now. Help us, we beseech of Thee. For it's in Christ's name we ask all these things. Bless us. We thank Thee for bringing us into the house of God to hear Thy truth, forever saving our never dying souls. And we pray You'll bless us now as we continue on in Thy presence and to worship Thee in spirit and in truth, and with reverence and godly fear. For it's in Christ's name we ask all these things, for His wonderful name, for it's in His name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Throughout church history, the believer, the true child of God, has faced many trials and tribulations. There were the persecutions under Nero, Nero being the first Roman emperor of many, had brought great persecution against the Christians of that day. Christians were sold in skins of wild beasts and tossed to the dogs. Others were dressed in shirts filled with wax, fixed to the trees, and set on fire, and used as human torches in order to light up Nero's garden. Such was the persecutions of that day. There was Ignatius, bishop of Antioch. His mind was fixed in martyrdom. His motto was, the nearer the sword, the nearer God. Prior to being tossed to the wild beasts in the Colosseum, he said this: I am God's grain, and I am going to be ground by the teeth of wild beasts, that I may be found by pure bread. Or there was Lazarus, who was found at the rich man's gate, homeless, full of sores, yet he had a home in heaven, whose builder and maker is God. He desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, yet he knew the bread of life. Or there was Stephen, who was full of faith and power, who gave himself, as the apostles had stated, that we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. And Stephen did heed those words and practiced it throughout his life. And he was stoned to death for his faithfulness to Christ. And so the passage that we've read together also describes a believer in a time of affliction. It is not certain who penned it, but the common thought among commentators is that it was David who penned this psalm, as he was moved by the Holy Ghost. We're also not sure as to the particular occasion of it. Was it when Saul had hunted after David and sought for his life, and Saul cast a javelin For he said, I will smite David, even to the wall with it, and David avoided it out of his presence? Or was it when Absalom sought to dethrone David and dethrone him from all the affections of as many people as he could? And the king was much moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son, my son. David forgets all the joys of his deliverance and is overwhelmed with the sorrowful tidings of Absalom's death. You see, friends, though we are not certain and clear as to who, where, and when, we know that this man of God was delivered out of many troubles. We understand that the psalmist was in times of great distress and danger, which almost drove him to the point of despair. We find him calling upon God in prayer, and the experience he had of God's goodness to him in answer to prayer. God heard him, was gracious unto him, merciful toward him, and delivered him out of his great distress. And this we are certain of. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. And it is verse 7 that I want us to pay close attention to, as the Lord gives his help and the grace to do so. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. The believer in a time of trouble. The believer in a time of trouble. You see, the believer has a rest in a time of trouble. Jehovah is the only sure and permanent rest of the soul. And those who reject him will remain restless forever. Is Christ thy rest? Is Christ thy rest? The reason I ask this simple question is, you go wrong here, you go wrong on everything. You go wrong on everything. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You see, God the Father is satisfied with God the Son, and so is satisfied with all who rest on that sacrifice. And therefore, Christ is the believer's rest. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. It is a personal rest. Return unto thy rest. Return unto thy rest. It's a personal rest. True faith, which indicates, includes rest in God. Brings with it a sense of safety and security. Though this may vary in degree, assurance is personal. It's to the individual. Return unto thy rest. But it's not always the permanent conscious possession of the believer, because he is constantly battling with sin, the world, the flesh, the devil. But it's a personal rest. Thy rest. And here we find the psalmist appealing unto the inner man, crying out, return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. It is also a permanent rest. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord. The last time we were here, we looked at 1 Peter chapter 2. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation. And we were looking at the one in whom we're founded upon, that great strength, the one who upholds us. And the Bible clearly states, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. And therefore it is a permanent rest. It is a God-given rest. Therefore it is a permanent rest. A permanent rest. It is a glorious rest. A complete rest for the people of God. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Yes, the people of God can forsake the Lord. The people of God can get away from their rest. But the Lord's not a man that he should lie. And he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Therefore it is a permanent rest. It is a permanent rest. It is also a purchased rest. It is a purchased rest. O my soul. O my soul. You see, Christ has purchased eternal redemption for his people. It is a deliverance of God's elect, a chosen generation, from the slavery and the guilt of sin into a state of salvation by means and merit of the ransom paid by Christ. Paid by Christ. It is a purchased rest. For it is a deliverance which has been purchased and is now the possession of all believers. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Therefore it is purchased, purchased by blood, purchased by blood, in whom we have redemption. Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Once you're saved, you're always saved. It is a purchased rest. It is a purchased rest. It is also a perfect rest. A perfect rest. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. For the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. It is a perfect rest, one that is complete, one that is sufficient, one that is satisfactory, one that is finished. And because of our union in Him, as we read on down, therefore precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Secondly, the believer sometimes is driven from his rest. Though the believer has a rest that is immovable, a rest that can't be moved, the believer is sometimes driven from his rest. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. The very fact that the psalmist says return indicates that he's been driven from his rest. He's appealing to the inner man. O my soul. But what does he say before that? He says, return unto thy rest. And the very fact he says return indicates that he's been driven, something has driven him from his rest. He's had his eyes on something else. You see, friends, there's times of accusation. There's times of attack against the believer. And he's sometimes driven from his rest. And he gets his eyes on those things that are against him. The circumstances into which we find ourselves. And friend, I don't know what you're going through. But sometimes you find yourself driven away from your rest. Because of that which you're facing. And how the accuser of the brethren, he seeks to wear out the saints of the Most High. Take John Knox, for example. That mighty man of God. And it's true that you could see throughout his life that he was, he had his confidence in his rest. In spite of all the accusations and attacks against him. John Knox, he was 12 years in exile. 18 months he was upon the French galleys as a slave. And the priest, he came round with the painted doll. An image of Mary, and was seeking for the slaves to worship this painted doll. And when it came round to John Knox, he said, Mary, Mother of God, let me see her. And he took the painted doll, and he says, if she's so powerful, let's see if she'll swim. And he threw the painted doll overboard. You see, because he was resting in the one who is the true and living God. And what else happened? That same man who the Mary Queen of Scots had said, I fear the prayers of John Knox. Then the armies of men when all hell had flooded against his soul, a few hours from death, a few hours from entering into his eternal rest. It was as if John Knox had been driven from his rest. And he called upon his wife. And he said, "Go read me where I first cast anchor." And there she read the words in John 17, verse 3. "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." You see, friends, we take the shield of faith when the fiery darts come at us. We turn to the Word of God. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. There's also, as we've looked at times of accusation and attack, there's also times of adversity that would find us driven, sometimes driven from our rest. Return. The psalmist, again David, if it was David who penned this psalm, we find him in Psalm 61. You don't have to turn to it for time's sake, but I read it to you. And he says, "Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." You see, we find David in a time of adversity. He's overwhelmed. He's driven from the spot which was the center of his delight. He's depressed. He's in such a sad condition. It is true that it's hard to pray when adversity is on every side. But friends, it's true that this is when men best pray. Because tribulation brings us to God. And brings God to us. Christ is our very present help in time of trouble. Whatever storms come against us, we are assured that the rock is immovable. Once you're saved, you're always saved. I ask you the question, are you sure you're saved? Make your calling and election sure. We can be sure because the foundation is sure. I ask you the question, just as I asked at the start, is Christ thy rest? Is Christ thy rest? The Lord says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Backslider, the psalmist, he begins this psalm, he says, I love the Lord. Friend, you've left your first love. Return unto thy rest. Return unto thy rest. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. For the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. Thirdly, I don't have time to go into the third point, but just briefly, the believer should return unto his rest in a time of trouble. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. We looked at, the last time I was here, we looked at how the Christian, that we, the people of God, a chosen generation, were a highly privileged people. Why? For the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. There's no other rest in this world. I was reading Charles Spurgeon, and he was mentioning about the dove leaving the ark, and there was no rest. And Spurgeon, he says, return unto thy Noah, for his name signifies rest. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. He delivered you from the second death. He says, for thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. Christian, you'll never see the flames of hell. For the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. All because of Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. We live because He lives. Friend, if you're outside of Christ, and you're seeking rest in some other, there's no rest found anywhere else. Nowhere else. other than Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name given under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. Believer, though the storms come, return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. May the Lord bless all that has been of himself for his own name's sake. Let us unite our hearts in prayer, seeking God's face. Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for ever saving our never dying souls. And we pray for those that yet know not thee, or yet dead in trespasses and in sins. And we pray that thou wilt save as such as should be saved, those for whom thy blood was shed. We pray that thou wilt do that divine work that only thou can do. Remember the word that has went forth in the other Bible classes amongst the Sunday school. And we thank thee for thy word. And we pray, O God, that thou wilt bless us indeed, that thou wilt use us in these days, and help us to be resting in thee more and more. For it's in Christ's name we ask all these things, careful to give thee all the praise and glory, which is due thy precious name. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.